Hello there, I'm Sandy Caldwell, and you are listening to episode number 28 of Quilt Cabana Corner. How is everyone? I just realized that I have not put out a podcast since January 25th. Ugh, that's awful. That's awful. So I apologize for that. I hope that you're all surviving the winter and the cold and the power outages and the snow and all that stuff that has probably kept a lot of us from doing what we want to do. But in other ways, maybe it's been good because you got to stay home and sew a bit. So that's always nice. In this episode, we have quite a bit to talk about because it's been a while. Although I'm looking at my list and some of the things I had planned to talk about because I keep a running list on my phone. It seems outdated now, or we've already talked about it on Twitter, so I'm not going to rehash some of that stuff. But we do have a ton of reader comments, all regarding the podcast question of what is the most amount of money that you are willing to pay for a yard of fabric with rising cotton prices. It just seems like we're paying so much more now than we used to. And I wondered what the top was. What's the most you're willing to pay? Got a lot of good response from that, so we will go over that. And I have some magazines to look through. I have some publishing news to share with you, which some of you already know on Twitter. And let's see. Oh, whoops. Sorry, just dropped my phone. My scrapbook retreat happened. I was going to talk to you about that. And also, our Quilt Guild hosted Sue Nichols for the weekend. She did a workshop, which I did not get to attend, and a presentation on Monday night, which my mother and I did attend. And it was fabulous. So I also have a few other, you know, little miscellaneous things. So anyways, I've got my coffee. Do you have yours? Want me to give you a minute and go grab your coffee and we can settle right down into today's podcast. In the last podcast episode, for some reason, I had audio drop quite a few times, more towards the last half of the podcast episode. I don't know what happened. I was using my iPad with the memo recorder, which I have done before, successfully without audio drop. And last time, for whatever reason, I have no idea, when I went to listen back after I had already published the episode, my voice would just fade out for like a half a second. So I apologize for that. I don't know what happened, but I'm not using that today. I went back to the microphone, which is okay. It was interesting to use the iPad, but not if it's going to be a pain and hard to listen to. So like I said, I'm not sure what happened with that, but we'll move on and I will use the microphone and hopefully the audio quality will be okay. I purchased some quilters hang-ups in the last month or so. And by way of a review, I just want to say that it came 3 yards of ready-to-use pleated quilt sleeve in the package, and I believe I paid about $10 plus shipping for them. What happened was I had a quilt deadline coming, and in my own head, I got all hung up, I'll say, about making the hanging sleeve, and that it was going to be a pain, and I didn't feel like it, and I just wanted to finish these things and get them done. So I ordered them, and I will say that I liked the ease of having the sleeve all made, but what I didn't like is that once you cut it off, you've got raw edges on either end, and you still have to tuck it in and do the sewing, which is, it's ridiculous, I know, but I just didn't feel like doing it, and then I bought these, and I was like, oh, for gosh sakes, I have to still do that. So I only used them the one time. And I do think it's kind of pricey, because if you have a wall hanging that needs, you know, I don't know, a 20-inch sleeve or something, this isn't going to last very long. I think that if I could purchase them with free shipping, maybe I would, but as I said, I didn't, so I probably paid $15 for 3 yards of these sleeves. So for me, in that moment when I was just feeling cranky or something about making a hanging sleeve, it did work for me, but I was a little, oh my gosh, now I got to do this. I could have just cut them with pinking shears, I suppose, and that would have done the job. It wouldn't unravel or what have you. So anyways, that was the deal with the quilters hang up, and they are 100% cotton, and it says easy to use, saves time, streamlined patented design, allows art to hang flat, designed by a quilt shop owner and teacher, and it is the regulation size of a 4-inch tall hanging sleeve. So take it or leave it. Quilters hang-ups. that was that. Next on the list, I wanted to tell you that over at the Wooden Bear website, which is Kelly Mueller's website, she has a fabric line and lots of patterns and books with cute country animal type art. She has a drawing once a month where she gives away some books and patterns that are still fine to use, but might, like, the book might have a bent page, like a doggy ear or something. The pattern might be a little wrinkled. Basically, she's trying to get rid of some inventory that, in her mind, is less than perfect. She doesn't want to charge full price for, so she's doing these giveaways. And I was fortunate enough to win one of her books in the February drawing. So head on over to thewoodenbear.com, and I think you just submit your email address, and then she'll let you know if you've won something. So I did want to say thank you to Kelly for sending me the book. It's really cute. I also had my scrapbook retreat, which I mentioned briefly at the beginning of the podcast. This is a retreat that I've gone on with my girlfriends. Oh, must be 5 years running, I think, that we've gone. It's held in Mystic, Connecticut, which is a little seaport town down in Connecticut. It's way at the bottom of the state. And I would tell you how beautiful it is down there because I have walked around a little bit. But really, for the most part, we don't leave that hotel. We are there scrapping our brains out until from the moment we get there till the moment we leave. So I have gone to Mystic Pizza, though, which, of course, was the pizza shop in that Julie Roberts film, Mystic Pizza. And the first year, I think we were all just dying to go eat there to say that we could, and it was very good. And we've gone, last year, we did go out to a restaurant, and maybe the year before, we did also. But generally, our meals are provided, and we've paid for them, so we stay at the hotel and we eat. And I've gone with different groups of people. Usually it's always the same, myself and my friend Heather across the street. Sometimes another neighbor has gone with us. Sometimes my sister-in-law has been there, my husband's cousin, some other friends, and then there's some other moms from our town that go as well. So it's kind of a mix and match of who's going to be there each year. It's held at the Marriott in Mystic, which is beautiful. And we generally arrive on Friday, although we have gone down some years on the Thursday night just to be there and get a head start on the Friday morning crop. So we go and we're generally set up and ready to go by about 10:30. Thank God for the bellhops because we had so much stuff. Gosh, you have to pack a lot of stuff to go scrapbooking. Although this event is held by Croptopia Getaways, and they do a fabulous job of providing. If you're a scrapbooker, you'll know that the Cricut machine is a great way to do your die cuts electronically. And she brings about 15 of those machines. She brings laptops and printers and a whole Sizzix cutting station. So although you do have to pack a lot because you need your pages and your tape and your photos and papers and embellishments and what have you, plus what you need just to be there for the weekend, she really does provide a lot of stuff for us there. There's also a charity basket raffle. So we had done a wine basket. Last year we did a chocolate basket. And we raise money for the Dreams Come True Foundation. And some gals from that foundation always come over and talk to us and tell us about one child in particular. Each year it's a different child. And you can get an arm's length of raffle tickets for $20. And it's like the Chinese auctions. You put your tickets in for whatever basket you want. And I think we raised, maybe $1,200. It was either $1,200 or $2,300. I can't remember which. Either way, it's a lot. So it's nice to do. This year was the 10th year anniversary of that scrapbook retreat in Mystic. So she had a t-shirt launch where they threw t-shirts and I was able to catch one. And the Friday that we went down was my birthday. So when I arrived, my friends had balloons and a birthday tiara and a card with some fun money for the weekend tucked in, which I went and got a chair massage with some of that money, and it was awesome. So it was a very fun weekend. My sister and her husband also happened to be in the area that weekend, and they stopped by to say happy birthday as well. And it was very fun, and I finished my California 2010 album, and now I'm working on my daughter Lindsay's album. And sadly, usually what happens is I come home from that weekend and I put my stuff away and I don't take it out again until the next year. So I really would like to try to work in some scrapbooking time this year so that I don't end up like that again. But overall, it was a really, really fun weekend. It was a great time. All right, so let's move on to some of these reader comments because I do have so many. So I apologize if this is a little longer podcast than usual. We'll see what we can get through. And I just want to say, if I have missed someone's comment, I am so sorry. There were just so many comments coming in and I was trying to keep them all in an email folder. But I'm also going to try to jump around to the different places like Big Tent and the podcast website and everything to make sure that I've got everyone. So again, if I miss someone, I do apologize. Okay, so let's start with on the blog itself, and I feel like I'm missing some, so I will flip through my email after, make sure I've got everybody. Lori K says, if I'm shopping at my local quilt store, I will pay up to $12 a yard. I think the highest price I've seen there is $11.99 a yard. I don't like to pay full price, though when I'm at other quilt stores, I buy only sale fabric or fat quarters when I'm at other quilt stores. Okay. Thank you, Lori, and I think $12 seems to be about the norm at this moment. Colleen says, I'm in Canada, so fabric is more expensive. The usual price around where I live is $14.99 or $16.99 a meter. Wow. I try to wait for sales, but I've paid that price. I see the prices in the UK and Australia, though, and I can't complain. So I'll say a meter is probably about a yard. That's an awful lot. All right, Colleen, thank you for weighing in from Canada. Karen says, I really don't want to pay more than $11 a yard. I haven't paid over $10 yet. I try to buy daily deal specials and look for deals on Etsy. Lots of the fabrics at my local quilt store are between $9 and $10, but they issue a $10 off coupon. Right, Karen, and if I have a coupon for Joann's or something, that definitely helps defray the cost. Loretta 6 says, well, I finally caught up with your podcast, and this question is one that I have talked over with some of my quilty friends. I have drawn the line at $11 a yard. I look for sales, use coupons, shop online. Recently, I went to a new shop that just changed locations in my area. They had all new stock, and just about everything was $12 a yard. On top of that, the shop was cold inside. There were not even sale fat quarters. Girls, believe it or not, I did not spend a dime in that shop, and I will not be back. I know that's harsh, but we all work hard for our money. I am now understanding the modern quilt movement. Solid fabric is the most inexpensive fabric in the shops, and I will be using more. Passing up all the new print lines will be hard, but a girl has to do what a girl has to do. Also, I believe that if the cost of cotton comes down, the price on the bolt will stay up if we pay the price. Just the facts. Loretta, I agree with you. These prices are never going to go back down. So, and that's hard to swallow. That the only way is up, I think. So, you know, maybe we'll all become modern quilters. I think you've got a good idea there. Or maybe we'll all just hand quilt because it will take us twice as long, maybe three times as long to make anything. And we'll save money that way. Jenny D says, in Australia, it's common in quilt shops for fabric to be between 20 and 25 a meter, especially Moda and other big name fabrics. This is why I frequently purchase from online quilt stores based in the U.S. Even at $12 a yard in international postage, fabric can get to me cheaper than I buy it at a bricks and mortar store. Over the past 2 years, our quilt store prices have come down a little. Oh, all right, well, there you go. Maybe they are going to come down. Very interesting. Okay, over on the Quilt Cabana Corner website, I heard from Francis. Hello, Francis Dowell, if you are out there. And Francis says, I'm still thinking about how much I would pay for a yard of fabric. Right now, it's hard to imagine paying any more than $12.99 a yard, which seems astronomical. Maybe I'll just do more scrap quilts and buy only quarter yards, so that when fabric goes up to $16 a yard, I'll think, but $4 a quarter yard, that's not so bad. Sometimes it pays to be really dumb about math. I like the way you think, Francis. I think you've got it right. We'll just buy less. Okay, over on the Big Tent, we have Sharik, who says, can't wait to listen to your new episode. Hopefully we'll be able to do so later today. You know, Sandy, it feels like I just have to accept around $10 a yard if I go to a quilt shop in my area. I've seen some a bit more. The ones around me do offer some fabric less than that, but I don't see much under 60 yard. Yeah, me either, unless I go to Walmart. If I'm purchasing a big amount for a project, I will try to wait until there's a sale. Thank you, Sharik. Bluebird 54 says 10 or 10.50 a yard is the max. I don't purchase like I used to. Now I wait until I'm actually going to make a quilt and see exactly what I want and need. I've seen fabric for 12 a yard in my area. I'm being more creative with what I have at home for backings too, since they take more fabric. Yes, and I agree, the backings are, it's expensive, but maybe that's when we go for the solids. Well, for me, when I'm doing a wall hanging, I always just use muslin because nobody sees the back. Nobody. So I try to keep my prices down that way a little bit. Janet says, I try to keep my costs to around 10 a yard, with costs of fabric creeping up to over 11. I do look at the fabric on clearance first before I go look at the regular priced fabrics. I buy fabric for the project that I'm working on, so if there is a fabric that I like that's in the 11 to 12 price range, I use it in an area that doesn't call for a huge amount of fabric. That's good thinking. Like Bluebird 54, I too am being more creative with my backings. I will use sail fabrics that go with the front of the quilt or piece the backing from fabrics I have on hand. Jackie from So Excited Quilt says that's a hard question to answer. I hope not more than 11 to 12 per yard. I try to shop sales, use what I have. Lizini says, well, I live in Germany. I would say that about 12 euro are a normal price. 20 euro per yard would be my limit, but it had to be something really, really special. Thanks, Lizini. Quilton Jenny, I'd like to say $10 a yard, but I know I've already paid more than that. I really balk at anything over 12. Me too, Jenny, me too. I'm working hard at using my stash now, so I'm not buying as much fabric as I used to. When I do buy now, it's almost always for a gift or special occasion, so I don't mind as much. Pioneer Quilter. I've been noting a tendency lately for online shops to price by the half yard. I would guess that's an attempt to mask a new higher cost. That goes along with Francis's thinking. I would say there's a price limit, but I'd be kidding myself. As long as I have a need, I'll keep buying. Yep. I can agree with that too. Jill, I've noticed the half yard pricing also, but guess what? I can still figure out the yard price, even if I am math challenged. So take that, marketing people. I do pay whatever the price is if I really love or need something, but I'm shopping for sales at the quilt store, like Finish the Bolt for 10 to 15% off, she gives us an example. I found some fabric that I might not have looked at on the shelf, so it's a win. Great. Linda says, really, I have more fabric than I will ever use. If I buy anything, it's a small amount just because I like it. Or if I need something special for a back, I can usually find something on a markdown table or something to finish up a project. If I had to pay $12 for a large amount of fabric, i.e. a back for a king-size quilt, I think it would stay a UFO for a while longer. Yep, I agree. Laura... VA, maybe Virginia? Lara VA 23233. I've started using corduroy for my backings because I can sometimes find it in 60-inch widths. Oh, interesting. And it's cheaper than regular cottons. For a regular quilt, I won't pay more than $10 a yard for quilting cottons. If I see something I like, I don't buy it until there's a sale. If someone buys it before it goes on sale, it wasn't meant for me. There will always be another fabric that I like, sometimes more than the one that got away. I plan to switch to less expensive solids if the price of printed cotton fabric keeps going up. Okay, so there you have heard from Big Tent and on the Quilt Cabana Podbean site. Now let's go to my emails because I did get some responses on Twitter and I try to forward them to my email here. Okay, Beth S. says, Hi Sandy, I thought I'd write in and answer this since I recently encountered that limit at a quilt shop. It was $18.95 a yard. Wow. Obviously very special fabric to me and exactly what I had been looking for or else I would have chosen its $8.99 neighbors. It was a batik and I was not happy paying that price, but I did it. The funny thing is, the batiks at this shop are almost all $7.99 to $8.99, which is $4 a yard cheaper than Joann's regular price and better quality. I agree, I'm not a fan of Joann's batiks. only because when I took them home to wash them one time, all the color came out of them. That was me saying that, not Beth, about the color washing out. I love them for that. Outside of that, it's difficult for me to answer, since every time I'm in Joann's, I'm using a coupon. I don't want to ever have to pay more than $6 to $6.50 a yard there, or $8 a yard elsewhere for basic quilting cotton. Okay. I agree, Beth. And... okay, here's a tweet from Katie Quilted Magnolia. She says, regular width, $10 maximum, wide backs, $14. Okay. I've never purchased wide backs, so I'm not really sure what the price on those usually are. DDR, Diane, she says, I buy mostly on sale, especially for backs. They are definitely pushing my limits now with $11 to $12 here. And she is in California, I believe. Mary Ann, lots of ours are already nearly $17 per meter. And Mary Ann, I also believe is in Canada. So there's a wide range of prices going on here. Kati says, I really love fabric, so I only get them on sale. This way I can get more. I pay $8 to $9 the most. Quilt shop owners, close your eyes. And Landscape Lady, she says, the most would be $15, but I would really have to love it. Hand dye or batik, no doubt. Okay. All right, I think that the rest of the ones here I have already read through the blog. So I believe that I've got everybody. If I missed you and your comment, I apologize profusely, and you can let me know, and I'll be sure to include it. So that concludes the reader comments for the podcast question. So what do you think? And it looks like there's a wide range. It looks like if you live out of the United States, you're paying way more, plus you have to pay for the international postage. You know, I still kind of think that the prices are never going to come down. I think that all those beautiful fabrics might become something for very special quilts. And that if we're just, you know, trying something out, or I hate to say this, but making a charity quilt, I don't think I'm going to pay $12 a yard for a fabric for a quilt that I'm giving away, unless it's, you know, for something very, very special. And I am a person, actually, who I don't generally make large quilts. I mean, I did pay about $100 for a bunch of batiks for my daughter Lindsay's quilt, but she had come to the quilt shop. It was actually a show. She came to the quilt show with us, and she chose it herself. And it was the exact thing that we were looking for. It matched her room perfectly. So I would say that that was a special occasion, so I guess I didn't mind. I probably paid $11 a yard for it. In fact, I'm almost sure I did. So, and that was to back it as well. So, I don't know. I wish the prices would come down. I fear they will not. And, you know, maybe this is just going to be the start of learning a new way of quilting for some of us. Maybe we are going to become modern quilters. Maybe we are going to be traditional quilters, but we're going to use solids more. So I think it will be interesting to see how this turns out. And I wish that people, you know, in the cotton industry were listening to this podcast right now, because I think that he has some outrage. I feel like I hear some undertones of outrage at the prices. So thank you all for participating in that. That was a really great response. I love to hear from everyone. I'm sorry it took me so long to get your responses out there. I do know that Frances over on Off Kilter Quilt was talking about this a little bit too in her latest podcast. I think it was the March 6th or 7th one. So she's has a little bit of feedback over there as well. And I think maybe now we'll move on to our next podcast question. So our next podcast question is this. It's all about you. I want to know, what is your quilting story? I know that there's a lot of quilting stories out there on Why Quilts Matter or Why We Quilt or whatever that DVD series is. And I think maybe that's a little quilty celebrity geared, perhaps. So, for those of us who are listening and who want to weigh in, what is your quilting story? Why are you doing this? Why are you paying those high prices to make a beautiful quilt? What spurs you on? What makes you so passionate about this hobby that you would fill up closets and drawers full of fabric and spend your time and your hard-earned money on this craft? What is it? Why do you do it? Why do you want to do it? Do you do it and sometimes wish you never started? Do you do it because someone special in your life showed you how and you want to honor their memory? Do you do it because you inherited a sewing machine and you had no idea how it worked and then one day you thought, hey, that's kind of cool? So, it's about you. Tell me your story. What is your quilting story? All right, that'll give you something to think about for a little while, right? Right? Okay, so leave your responses anywhere you want for me. You can tweet me, you can Facebook me, you can leave it on my blog, you can, I don't know, leave me your comment on Big Tent. There, I'll go through all the places you can get in contact with me at the end of the podcast. But so think about that. Tell me your quilting story, because I think we'd all like to hear each other's quilting stories. So that's that. Now, on to a little bit of bragging rights news. This month, in the April issue of Quilters World magazine, my floral mix-up quilt, which was made with Riley Blake Fabrics, their polka dot stitches line, which is just adorable. I have a quilt in there. I believe it's on page 88. I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say that that is the page it was on. And you can check it out, and it's a really cute floral wall hanging. It could also be a small lap quilt. So I'm feeling proud about that this month or week, and I am working on a few other things. I've been trying to do a Working on It Wednesday blog post every Wednesday, although today that will be delayed because I'm trying to get this podcast out and I have to meet my church sewing group in an hour. So anyways, you can follow my progress along there, and I will also be updating my website with a picture of that quilt. So check me out, Quilters World. It's the first time I've ever worked with that magazine, and I definitely enjoy doing so. In fact, the story behind that quilt is I had made it with other fabrics, and they had contacted me and said, we want to use it, but would you mind using this fabric line? And they sent me the entire fabric line. It was like such a happy mail day. I couldn't believe it when it all arrived. And there were lots of colorways to choose from, but I was really in that aqua red white mode, so I did choose those. I still have a lot of fabric left from it. In fact, I did a disappearing nine patch with some of the fabric that was left. So that was quite a thrill, because I've never had fabric sent to me before like that, and I felt really, really special and kind of professional, so it was fun. Lots of fun for me. And while I'm on it, I want to congratulate Katie from Quilted Magnolia. She also had a publication this week. She had a photo of her Jelly Roll Race quilt in a magazine, and I can't quite remember the name of the magazine, because I believe it is a publication that only goes to quilt shop owners and is not on the market for regular consumption. So head on over to Quilted Magnolia's blog to see which magazine. I want to say it was, I'm not even going to bother saying it because I'm going to get it wrong, but a huge congratulations to Katie. It's definitely a thrill to see your work in a magazine. All right, now, while I'm on that magazine, Quilters World, I just want to say one thing that I did find a little odd is that for most of the photos of their quilts, the quilts were folded in some way. And although there was an illustration of what the whole full picture of the quilt, it was like a computer illustration, I am almost sure that hardly any of those quilts were actually shown in their entirety, for lack of a better word, which I just found to be a little odd. But I've never, that's not a magazine that I subscribe to normally, although maybe perhaps now I will. But I just found that to be a little bit odd. So, anyway, I have a stack of magazines sitting here, and I had wanted to talk about them all, but now that I'm sitting here looking at them all, it feels like I'll never get through them. So, I am going to just look at the doggy-eared pages that I have, because, of course, every quilt in every magazine was gorgeous and worth looking at and seeing. But for me to review them all on this podcast, we'd be here, oh, I don't know, till I turn 43. And I just turned 42, so I don't want to spend the next year talking about all the quilts in these magazines. Just go flip through them. You'll find plenty to choose from. But I do have Love of Quilting in front of me, and this is, I'm trying to find what issue, because my little address label is getting in the way. Let me peel it off. Pardon the crinkly sounds. Okay, this is the March-April one. And under so many tips, there were some really cute ideas. And one of them, it was sent in by a woman named Martha, and she says, I save scraps of stabilizer and use them behind ribbon to test decorative stitches. The ribbons are fun to use on scrapbook pages. So I thought that was a good idea. Someone else says they use floor tiles to make templates. Press paper pattern onto the adhesive side of a self-stick floor tile. Cut the template out on the line with scissors or utility knife, and they are sturdy and they can be used with a rotary cutter. That's a great idea. And, oh, I liked this one for foundation piecing. Maureen says, I use very lightweight sew-in interfacing for foundation piecing so I don't have to tear out the paper. To transfer the pattern, I press interfacing onto the freezer paper, and then I copy the pattern onto the interfacing with my inkjet printer. So I thought that was a great idea. And let me just see what else I had doggy-eared in this one. Bear with me just a moment. No, I guess that was it. I was trying to be choosy towards the end. I read about 4 quilt magazines last week. They were all stacking up, and I really wanted to get through them so I could share the highlights with you. So I tried to only doggy-ear the best of the best. Okay, and this happens to also be Fawns and Porter, but it's their Easy Quilt Spring. And under their this and that column, oh, I liked this. There's a new book put out by Lark Crafts, and it's called Quilt It With Love by Mary Balagna and Carol Babbitt. And it's the Project Linus story, and they have 20 patterns in the book, including patterns for quilts that double as game boards and quilts with pockets. So it's $20, and it's some of their best patterns from the quilts that have been sent into the Project Linus organization. That sounded good to me. And they had a little poll here, and it says, what time of day do you prefer to quilt? 70% of the people who responded said any time of the day and night. 15% said the morning. 10% said the evening/night. And 5% said the afternoon. And it says, well, many of our members said, no way, we don't snack when we quilt. Here are the top snacks and beverages our quilters consume while quilting. Chocolate, M&Ms, tea, pretzels, grapes, red wine, popcorn, and lollipops. Lollipops, really? And popcorn, really. I feel like my fingers would be greasy and I'd be messing up that $12 a yard fabric. I'm going to do that. Okay, that's it for that one. The American Patchwork and Quilting 20th Anniversary Issue, April 2013. And I have to say, the magazine I get most jazzed up about when it comes in the mail is American Patchwork and Quilting. I think they have a lot of good articles. It's not always about the patterns that are in there, but I just think that it's a good publication. It's interesting. Okay, I've doggy-eared tips from readers. And, oh, I liked this quilt. Before replacing a bobbin when you are machine quilting, attach a scrap of bright fabric with a safety pin to the spot on the quilt where you are stopping. That way, once the new bobbin's in place, you can easily find where to start again. Someone says, once you've determined the final block placement, take a picture with your digital phone. I do that, actually, a lot with my fusible applique. Actually, what I do is I'll take several photos of my wall hangings with the fusible applique in different positions, and then I send it to my mom, and I say, thoughts before I fuse, and she helps me, and my kids help me to find the perfect layout before I actually fuse the stuff down. And speaking of fusing, I do want to have a little update. My $14 dry iron that I ordered, I think it's the Continental Platinum, I'm still loving it. It is a dry iron, there's no steam function, so you have to use a squirty bottle. But for fusible applique, that thing is king. I love it. So I just wanted to tell you that. Also, There was one more. Oh, I liked this. When attaching quilt binding, accordion fold it, put it in a plastic bag, and tape the bag to the front of your sewing machine table. This lets the binding feed into the machine without tangling or having to rest on the floor. And I will say that that will only work if you don't pin your binding, because I pin my binding to the first corner, I go stitch it, I miter it, and then I pin the next one, and then I go back. So that might not work so well. Okay, next. I don't mean to rush, but I like to not have enormously long podcasts. I don't know why. It's just my thing. Just my thing. Okay, hold on. One more minute. Okay, here were some tips from the top 20 designers. And some of the tips were, don't sweat it. Lynette Jensen says, the enjoyment of quilt making should not come just from the end result, but from the process of getting there. Kim Dial says, mistakes aren't really mistakes, they're just unforeseen opportunities. I like that. A lot of times, they make a project better than you could have anticipated. Jo Morton says, don't worry about nipping off the points, because once you get quilt top together, they don't matter. Chris Kerrigan says, using thread in a contrasting color can disguise minor applique flaws, such as less than smooth curves. Darlene Zimmerman says, work on a hand sewing project while traveling, watching TV, or waiting for someone. It's amazing how much you can accomplish if you have a project ready. That is true, and that will also help you with your 15 minutes of sewing on Darla's March sew-along-a-thon, if you're participating in that, which I said I was going to, and then I haven't gotten over to her website to update my progress. And Pat Sloan says, do yourself a favor, use some really good thread for your quilting. All right, so that was some tips from top designers. And I had doggy ear to project. And now I just want to check why I did. Oh, I know, because so many of you are following Kimberly Einmo. She has a gorgeous quilt in this magazine called Stargazing. It says, Starlight, Star Bright, radiating stars composed of basic units sparkle in the night sky. So if you are a Kimberly Einmo fan and you would like to see one of her beautiful quilts, she's on page 42 in this magazine. All right. McCall's Quick Quilts, April-May 2013. Let's see what we had here. I am noticing with McCall's magazines lately that they seem to be using the same designers over and over and over again, which is fine, because I got into that magazine about 5 times myself. But I'd like to see a little bigger variety of designers, because some of these designers have the same, almost like the same technique and style in every quilt they do, so I'm kind of wishing they would just mix it up a little bit more. Does anyone else feel that way lately? They have some free quilting videos, McCall's Quilting University, and they have videos currently out on how to make a yo-yo, how to prepare hexagons for applique, and I'm assuming these are just short videos, easy Lone Star assembly, circular block construction, fast three-dimensional techniques, and soft fusible applique. So if you're looking for a couple free videos, I know everybody's into craftsy and all that, but these are free, and we like free. Okay, let me just check for my next doggy ear. It's kind of hard to hold the microphone and flip the magazines at the same time. That's why you're hearing background noise. Sorry about that. Okay, whatchamacallits. Let's see. They had a new book called Colorful Quilts for Playful Kids listed here, which is Janet Pittman's new book from Landauer Publishing, filled with fun mix-and-match projects to delight both kids and quilters alike. Appliques, zoo animals, trucks, bugs, sports balls, flowers, and princesses are all easily adaptable for a variety of projects. There's 14 projects in the book, and you can mix and match them. Thought that was cool. I also thought that this was cool, a mat for all places. It's a cutting mat that goes together, sort of fits together, so you can make it any size and shape you want. They come in two different sizes and you can connect them, 12 by 18 and 12 by 24. You can find the perfect configuration for your cutting needs. So if you're in the market for a new cutting board, you might want to try that, where you can configure it to how you want it. And last but not least here, I have a McCall's March-April 2013 as well. Let's see if I doggy eared any of that. To share with you, apparently I did not, so we'll skip that one. So that wraps up the magazine review. I do want to say what I'm currently reading for book club. Well, I shouldn't say I'm currently reading it, because I still need to order it and download it. But I wanted to share it with you because it sounds really interesting. It's called The Snow Child by Eowyn Ivy. And Eowyn is spelled E-O-W-Y-N, and her last name is I-V-E-Y. And our book club is reading this month. It comes highly recommended. One of the moms of the girls in the group said her mother just could not put this book down. So it is a take on a Russian fairy tale, and it's written in Alaska in the 1920s. I'll read you quickly the description from Amazon. And it's $9.16, or you can get it on Kindle for $8.70. It says, Alaska 1920, a brutal place to homestead, and especially tough for recent arrivals Jack and Mabel. Childless, they are drifting apart. He breaking under the weight of the work of the farm, she crumbling from loneliness and despair. In a moment of levity during the season's first snowfall, they build a child out of snow. The next morning, the snow child is gone. But they glimpse a young, blonde-haired girl running through the trees. This little girl, who calls herself Thana, seems to be a child of the woods. She hunts with a red fox at her side, skims lightly across the snow, and somehow survives alone in the Alaskan wilderness. As Jack and Mabel struggle to understand this child who could have stepped from the pages of a fairy tale, they come to love her as their own daughter. But in this beautiful, violent place, things are rarely as they appear, and what they eventually learn about Thana will transform all of them. Doesn't that sound good? I just think that sounds so good. All right, I'm going to take a 2-second break here to catch up on other things that I wanted to tell you that I have on my list, and I will be right back. Okay, I think maybe the last thing that we'll talk about today is the Sue Nichols visit at my quilt guild. Sue Nichols came to our guild, and I am very fortunate that our guild has attracted some big names. They've got Jane Sassaman coming next month. Last month I was supposed to take a workshop with Joe Diggs, and she, I believe, is ill with cancer, so that was canceled. I was looking forward to it, but hopefully when she's better, they'll be able to reschedule that. But like I said, Monday was Sue Nichols. And I hate to say this, but this is like the first guild meeting I have made all year. Whether it was weather or my husband's work schedule and he couldn't get home. And I was just dying to go. I was really happy to be able to go to this one. And she talked about free motion quilting. Sue Nichols has several books out. She's won multiple awards in Paducah and Houston for her quilts, which are actually a collaboration with her sister Pat Hawley. So Sue and Pat collaborate on all parts of the quilt. They split the work evenly. They have each done some solo quilts, of course, as well. They both teach. They learn to sew from their mom, who is still alive and does some limited sewing. They said that their mother would sew all day, that she would set the sewing machine up on the kitchen table, she would take it down for dinner, and she would put it right back up again and continue. So they already had a fantastic understanding of a sewing machine and how it works and what you can do with it. They made their own clothes in high school. They made Barbie doll clothes when they were younger. They've really had a strong upbringing in sewing. So Sue said that she had joined a quilt guild, and her second quilt that she made, which she had hand-pieced, people in her guild said, oh, you should enter that in a show. And not knowing really a lot about the quilting world, plus I think she said it was the early 1980s maybe, she was looking in a magazine and she saw a quilt show in Paducah. And she thought, hey, they said I should send it to a quilt show. So she did, and she actually won an honorable mention. And she says, you know, if that quilt had been submitted in today's world down in Paducah, it would not have even been juried into the show. But she's very proud of that. She also said that when she figured out how to free motion quilt, which she does all on her domestic Bernina machine, that she showed some people at her quilt guild what she was working on, and everybody was fascinated by it because it was something new that they hadn't seen. And within 6 months, she was teaching free motion quilting. And that's how she began her teaching career. She was a lovely, lovely person, so sweet. She had a very nice slideshow. She had brought several of her quilts. She and her sister are the creator of the Beatles quilt that is now in the Museum of Quilting, I think in Paducah or Houston, I forget which. Paducah, maybe. Houston, I can't remember. But they made that Beatles quilt, and then they made a smaller Beatles quilt called the Baby Beatles quilt that they took to London with them while they did some teaching. So they're having a ball. They're writing patterns and books, and it's just nice because it's all in the family for them. And she shared with us, how she marks her quilts and some photos of her quilts from early on progressing up to her gorgeous free motion quilting that she has a new book called, I think it's Fabulous Feathers and Frills coming out. And she teaches everyone her secrets of free motion quilting. She had some slides of her workspace, which is very small. It's her daughter's bedroom, I guess. And she took it over, and she just has a small sewing table. And behind her, she puts her ironing board so that when she rolls her quilt and throws it over her shoulder, you know, the way that you have to do when you're quilting something large, it lands on the ironing board behind her. So really, she doesn't have fancy, fancy digs. She's just doing it in the space that she has, and I think she takes her time with it. She does mark her quilts. She designs her own feather designs and then transfers them with, I'm imagining, a light box, because she said she used a Sharpie, you know, and then traced it. So she must put it over a light box to trace. But fascinating stuff. She was just fabulous to listen to. If you ever get a chance to go see her or take a class with her, you absolutely, definitely should. She was great. Her website is www.sue-nichols.com. And as I said, she's worth checking into. She also mentioned that she likes to use Quilter's Choice Pencil for marking her quilts. And I did a little research on those. They are a water-soluble pencil. She likes the silver one because it shows up. But I will caution to say that if you're doing a wall hanging that does not get submerged in water, they did say, this person who was doing the review, that the silver one is a little hard to get off just rubbing it with a damp cloth on a white background. So a word of caution for anyone who's going to try those. All right, I think I'm going to wrap this up because, like I said, some of the things we were going to talk about, I feel like I've already kind of talked about in other venues. So we are going on 48 minutes. That's long enough for you to put up with my voice and my podcasting, don't you think? All right, so you're going to get in touch with me about your quilt story. I want to hear your story. And I want to hear from you on Big Tent. I'll put it on the Supergroup page because no one ever really seems to go to the Quilt Cabana page. I don't know. It seems like things get more response on the Supergroup page, so I'll put it there. I am Quilt Cabana on Twitter. I'm Quilt Cabana on Goodreads. I am Quilt Cabana Patterns on Facebook. I am sewsandy8@yahoo.com. That is sewsandy8@yahoo.com. I am on my blog, which is www.quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog. I am on Craftsy with some patterns. I am on Etsy with some patterns under Quilt Cabana or Quilt Cabana Patterns. I think that's it. Oh, and I'm also on Podbean, quiltcabanacorner.podbean.com. And I had some bandwidth issues last month, which is great in one way because it means that there's a lot more traffic to the podcast, which is fabulous. I misunderstood what bandwidth meant, and I deleted a couple of the earlier podcasts thinking, oh, that should take care of it. Then they emailed me and said, no, that doesn't take care of it. It's just you have more traffic now. So What happened was in the last 2 days of the month of January, they blocked my account so you could not get onto my podcast to listen. The only way for me to avoid that in the future is either for people not to listen as much, which would be horrible, or for me to pay more money for this account. So I'm not ready to make that jump yet because this is the first time that ever happened. If it does continue to happen, I'll upgrade the account and we won't have to worry about bandwidth. Or it was suggested to me from Katie's Quilt Magnolia there to move the podcast onto my website. And that just seems like it's going to be a pain, and that's not how I want to choose to use my time doing all the technicalities of this thing. So let's just stay with Podbean and, hopefully we won't run into that problem again. But if we do, like I said, I'll take care of it. All right. Have a quilty next few weeks. Email me your responses. I hope that you get a lot done. I hope that spring is coming to you because it's warm and sunny and 55 degrees here. And I'm just so happy today to see the sun. And happy to have seen my mother yesterday and the day before. We spent 24 hours doing what we love. We got to go to the Quilt Guild lecture. We got to order fabric from eQuilter.com yesterday. And we were splitting orders and shipping and stuff. And we also ordered some Aurifil thread from Mary Jo over at the Quilt Bear. And we went out to eat for lunch. What could be better than that? I think nothing. Pretty much nothing. So it was a great day, Mom. Thank you. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day. I will see you next time. Bye-bye.